This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Lowe's knows a thriving yard starts with quality care. Right now, get Miracle-Gro 3-quarter cubic foot all-purpose garden soil for just $2, was $4.58. Plus, get a free select Ego 56-volt trimmer or blower with the purchase of a select Ego 56-volt mower. The best yard starts with the best deals. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/14. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm just saying hello to you to see how you're doing, which I do every day.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm not doing great.
Stolen by Bridges. They've done it again. They've done it again. The New York Knicks take both in Boston and a 2-0 lead heading back to the Mecca.
Today's guests, longtime Cowboys insider Clarence Hill, Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi, actor Joe Mantegna, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Well, that's correct. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live on the air on the Roku Sports Channel. We're live on the air on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate on the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM channel 375, and the Odyssey app. We're streaming it. We're saying hello to one and all. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on this program. Lots to talk about. Clarence Hill is going to be joining us to wade through everything that happened with the Cowboys and their acquisition of George Pickens yesterday. And what does that mean for the immediate future on more people coming or securing the services of Micah Parsons long term? What's going on with the Dallas Cowboys? That's first up. Mike Borgonzi, the man who started the draft by taking Cam Ward first overall and letting the brilliant Travis Hunter sit out there for the Jaguars to trade up to go get. He's going to join us at the top of hour number two, and then Joe Mantegna will join us once again right here on the Rich Eisen Show in studio in support of Criminal Minds Evolution Season 93,000. It's really strange.
It's a lot.
Yeah. That's the number of total shows that have been churned out by Criminal Minds. At any rate, long story short, Joe's in studio in hour number three, and I do believe joining us once again to finish the program to help us get ready for Celebrity Family Feud. I think Suze is coming down to pull the Steve Harvey role once again. But Mike Del Tufo is not here today. Jason Feller is here instead, and we'll just have everything. We may be better without him. We'll see if it's less is more, or we're just going to circle the wagons, and that'll be later on. Don't miss it, because what an S show it was yesterday when we first attempted to do it live on this program, it being rehearsing for Celebrity Family Feud next week. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Great. How are you guys? How are
you? Good to see you, Jay Felly, again.
Hey.
Good to see you.
What's up, Rich?
TJ Jefferson, good to see you, sir.
It's good to be seen.
Good. Is a candle lit over there? I don't think it has.
Oh, no, you know what?
Yeah, go light the candle, man.
Let me go ahead and hand
it. Go light it up.
You know, much like Jerry, when he calls you into his office, you know he likes that candle.
That's right. He means business. He wants to make a deal.
He'll be doing this with George Pickens soon enough. You know what I mean?
There you go. Light it up. Unlike the 3-point shot scoreboard in TD Garden.
Didn't take you long, did it?
Oh, it didn't. That's why Brockman didn't really say very much to start the program.
I mean, what could he say?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't believe we've ever seen what we've witnessed over the first two games of this series.
No evidence of such.
I don't believe we've ever seen a home team fall down 0-2, blowing 20-point leads in both games while defending a title on top of it.
I don't think we've ever seen that. Got to be honest with you. Yesterday, watching this game, seeing the Knicks fall down by 20 again in the middle of the third quarter, I thought this one would just go that way and continue to go that way. Kind of sensed it, got that feeling. And then I don't understand what's happening with the Celtics, where they just keep settling for these threes and they're not seemingly attempting too many twos. They did, at least Jaylen Brown did, first half of the game yesterday, last night. He did mix it up a little bit, which is why the Celtics took a quick 16-4 lead in this game. But these defending champs are just missing one shot after another, watching the Knicks catch fire. Mikal Bridges with no points in the first three quarters, 14 in the fourth. Jalen Brunson being the, as voted by his peers, most clutch player in the NBA, doing his thing. While the backcourt tandem or trio of, you know, the Tatum, Brown, Jrue Holiday, Derek White, I mean, just to include one more Olympian from this team, they're not making shots. They're not making the right shots, and they're not making shots, certainly if they are taking the right shots. And now the Knicks are up 2-0. And, you know, it's time for the Celtics to show their championship medal. It's time for them to show why they were the champions last year, as they have now lost as many home games, blowing 20-point leads in both against the Knicks, as they did losing playoff games last year. And this is a scenario I don't think anybody saw coming. This is a scenario that leads the Knicks to head home to Madison Square Garden on Saturday, needing to basically win one of two at home to take a stranglehold in this series and present the defending world champs with the unenviable position of trying to become the 14th team all time and the first team since the bubble to fall down 3-1 and win a playoff series. That's where the defending NBA champions are at right now. And kudos to Josh Hart for basically saying that they still have a ton of work to do in this series. When asked how far he thinks, he was asked how far he thinks the Knicks can go. Hit it.
I don't think we even know what we're capable of. I think we have to continue to build. I think we have to put together a full game. And I think that's something that we haven't done during the course of this playoffs. You know, we got leads and we surrendered leads, and then we came back from big leads. So we got to figure out a way to put together a complete game.
Yeah. Can't keep on coming back from 20-point deficits in Boston to win these games. But what the Knicks have proven is a considerable medal in the fourth quarter. And what they have proven is that the offseason acquisition of Mikal Bridges, 5 first-round selections, and Karl Anthony Towns, that was the sauce. And it is right now cooking. Cooking in the fourth quarter, melting the defending NBA champions in front of their own house, and giving the Knicks a leg up in this series. You have anything you want to add to this, Chris?
I mean, I completely disagree.
Okay, go for it.
It's fine.
No, you're the Celtic fan here. I'm giving you the floor.
Yeah, everything's fine. They shot 25% from three. If they shoot 26%, they win.
That was game one. That was game one.
They shot 25% last night. They were 10 for 40. They shoot 26% they win both games, and it's 2-0, and everyone's like, what's wrong with the Knicks? They can't win despite the Celtics only shooting 26%. They're good enough to have 20-point leads in both games. Both these games should have been blowouts, but they had the worst shooting performance literally of the entire season, and we've never seen anything like it in the playoffs. All they have to do is make a couple of more shots, and they win the game. They're playing great defense. They're getting every open look that they could possibly want. They're just not going in. It's a make-or-miss league. So I'm literally not worried.
So you're not worried at all. You think 100%.
If they make one or two more threes.
Stay the course.
Stay the course, absolutely.
You're not concerned at all. That four, you need to just four out of the next five. You got to win four of the next five.
Well, they were 4-0 against the Knicks in the regular season, okay. As Chris Mannix pointed out. Three of those wins were by 10-plus points.
Okay.
Both of these games should have been 10-plus point game victories anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So just do exactly what you've been doing the whole time and just trust that the shots are going to go in.
You want to break the tie on this one, TJ?
I mean, look, you're saying if one more shot would have fallen, then if one more shot would have fallen, the Clippers would be in round two. You know, the Lakers might have won more than
one game.
Yeah. Like,
well, no, because each of these games were one possession games.
Yeah, but like,
after they were seven possession games.
You got to close them out. You got to play four quarters. It's great that for three quarters you were dominating.
Right, but one more shot goes in and they win both games. Yeah, of course. The fourth quarters are not great. Missing wide open shots is not great. Breaking news. What do you want? What do you want them to do different? They're getting every open look they could possibly want. A guy that you've relied on them for the last two seasons has a mystery illness that no one knows what's going on.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
And now suddenly he is basically ineffective. What are you going to do? You got an open shot. Tatum has an open three in the corner. It's a 7-point game at that point with three and change to go. If he makes that, the game is over. It goes to 10 with 3 minutes left. That's a tall order. And he absolute brick. All of them were all absolute bricks.
So you're unconcerned. You would state your case that you are unconcerned.
Everything,
you think the Celtics will advance to the Eastern Conference Finals at this point in time.
Well, I don't know about that.
And you think those shots are going to fall at the Garden with a very hostile crowd?
I just think every single time they miss a three.
What wasn't hostile in Boston? Like, it's the same.
The hostility's towards you.
I mean, the fans are pretty pissed. I would imagine it was pretty hostile toward them as well.
It's going to be nothing like the Garden.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You get up 20 in the Garden, those hostile fans are going to be pretty quiet.
Here's how, you know, things might be different. Certainly in Madison Square Garden. Okay. First of all, every single time the Celtics miss a three, it's going to be a circus. It's going to be a party. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a party. Here we go again, that whole business. And it would be helpful for the Celtics to take a 20-point lead and show off their championship medal. But if it is going to be a different game, and I think it will be a different game.
What gives you any evidence that it will be?
Because just you can't keep on doing the same thing. It's not going to be the same thing over and over again. Where the Celtics are up 20 and the Knicks are going to have to be forced to come back.
It has been in all six games they've played this year.
We shall see. Odds are the seventh will be different. And it will be quite a festival in Madison Square Garden. Because this time around, it's going to be the Knicks fans who are the loudest. This time around, the Knicks are feeling it right now. It's time to speak with the chest a little bit.
Momentum.
Because
I can feel it.
Right now, the Knicks have a sense about themselves that there is no scenario too difficult for them to overcome. And the fans feel the same way. And I know the fans have celebrated season opening wins as if it's a banner raise. And there's no banner raise yet. And there's a reason why Shaq and Barkley said in the post game yesterday that game three is a must win for the Knicks. Because you don't want to give the Celtics any life at all.
True.
Go up 3-0 and basically end it right then and there. And the Knicks fans will be quite a sixth man on the floor. And it'll be great. And there won't be every single time a Celtic does make a three, the most annoying public announcer in the NBA screaming somebody's initials for three. And that was the beauty of 75 missed threes. There were 75 fewer opportunities for three to be made. JB, JT, all of that stuff. The fact that the Knicks are doing it against the Celtics halfway home, is just that much sweeter. And on top of it, bringing in new fans. Old fans who are becoming new fans again. I'm one of them, as you know. I was out until Jalen Brunson pulled me back, and Julius Randle started tugging me back in a little bit. But you see, you know, just the fans who are so excited. Like, for instance, my new friend, Russell Wilson, tweeting out last night.
Yes, sir.
He's a big Nick fan, Russell Wilson. Oh, baby.
He's a new fan.
You know. I don't know about that. I mean, you know, he played for the Yankees for a hot minute in the spring. You know, he'll be there, courtside, high-fiving Ben Stiller. Here we go. Remarkable, remarkable performances by the Knicks in the last fourth quarters. And the defending champs are on the ropes, although Chris is, you're saying, stay the course. That's how you want it all.
Remarkable performance. Like standing there and watching the Celtics miss threes is not a performance.
Well, I mean, so the Knicks defense has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it.
They're missing wide open shots. What is the defense?
Okay. Okay. I don't know. I mean, the defense would be both times losing 20-point leads only to have one last shot to actually win it at the buzzer and not get a shot off twice.
Okay, great. But the same guy should have never come down to that.
Okay. It's true. We will see. Saturday afternoon, 3:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Text me the final score because I'm not watching.
Why aren't you watching?
Not watching.
Why aren't you watching?
I'm not interested.
Why are you interested? After you just said it doesn't matter. We're just going to keep shooting threes.
Come back anyway.
Don't worry.
Great.
Be happy.
Great.
Don't worry. Three happy.
I got Saturday obligations. It's just a bad time for the game.
Okay. All right.
Let me know what happens.
You want me to, I shouldn't assume tape?
I'm not recording it. Okay. I will not watch later. You can literally text me in real time.
Well, you might be able to hear it. You might be able to hear it.
Hear what?
The clanking. Off of the, well, some of them are air balls, too. Peyton puts it with an air ball. 4-3.
Well, that was from 30 feet away. That was a really bad shot.
3-0 feet away.
Really bad shot.
Oh, and yeah, Russell Wilson, you might be able to hear him.
Man, so much talking right now.
I mean, what did you expect? You think he's going to come in and be quiet about this?
I guess from the guy that celebrates May victories in baseball, I should expect this as well.
Okay. Breggy hit his 200th career home run.
Let's cut to the chase and let you know that Soto season is officially upon us now.
Okay.
All right. So.
Very good. This is fun. Honestly, I have not had this much fun watching playoff basketball in quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, if you just take your personal thought, and I know it's your team, but like, wow, this playoffs are
honestly just
better than I thought they'd
be. I'm there.
Done watching basketball.
All the people who I adore you, Chris, my brother-in-law, my nephews, my wife, my youngest son. Oh, did I give it to Cooper with both barrels? It was fun. Now we're halfway home. I got it. I just think, can I get a... Do we have an opportunity to get a GoPro on Bill Simmons? Please. Please. Deja 2. Can we get, every Wahlberg right now? I just would love to have seen them all last night. Ugh. But it's a large check to be written with a mouth. I get it. And these are the defending world champs who are going to show up in Madison Square Garden. You know, where, you know, the Pistons won a game. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens, because as Josh Hart points out, they haven't put a full game together yet.
That is true.
So we'll see. But, boy, has this been just delicious.
You know who else, Rich? I know we're going to break. Another guy who can do that Halliburton thing? Brunson. He's not afraid.
I love him. I told you. I never thought I would ever consider somebody other than Bernard King as my favorite Knick of all time, and I think he's there. Obviously, slaying the Celtics and dethroning them would be what we call a chef's kiss in this long, long history of these two teams playing each other and the Knicks being the ones on the receiving end of a nard kick. This would be great.
We got white smoke at the Vatican.
Do we do?
A word?
No kidding.
Yeah, just broke.
All right. Here we go. We got white smoke and we got Clarence Hill coming down, breaking out of the Cowboys conclave here. Very good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Why did the Cowboys do what they did? We know why. How did it happen? Clarence Hill coming up. Okay, This is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. The biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge-of-your-seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. May is Military Appreciation Month, and we're celebrating the military community that goes above and beyond every day with Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal was created for the military community and is dedicated to ensuring that its members feel celebrated and honored every single day. For over 90 years, Navy Federal's mission has been to support and uplift the military community, and this May is no different. It's not just a credit union. It's also a partner dedicated to helping its members achieve their financial goals. All active duty, veterans, and members of military families are eligible to join. Navy Federal is excited to celebrate Military Appreciation Month as a special time to recognize our troops and the profound contributions they make. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can use your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. With the Cowboys in the news yesterday, let's dig deeper into this George Pickens acquisition. A man who's been covering the Cowboys for 30-plus years. Now with all DLLS, pardon me, all DLLS.com for the Cowboys is Clarence Hill Jr. back here on the program. How are you doing, Clarence? Good to see you.
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out what's going on. What's going on, Clarence? Jerry, what's going on?
Well, Jerry's finally all in. You know, after not giving Mike McCarthy any help in his last season, he's finally all in. And you know, here's a guy that wouldn't call Derrick Henry when Derrick Henry wanted to come to Dallas and play for the Cowboys. They didn't have the money or whatever else, the pie. It didn't fit right. But now they're finally all in trying to put a winner on the field. They needed a receiver. They targeted a receiver in the draft. Well, actually, they needed a receiver for the last couple of years to play opposite CeeDee Lamb. But they tried to get Tetterell McMillan in the draft. They tried to make trades before the draft. They couldn't get it done. But Jerry said he wasn't done trying to improve the position. And he did it with this trade with Pittsburgh for George Pickens after the draft.
Okay. So what you're saying is, what was this, one of the trades that Jerry was teasing prior to the draft that was something substantive that he was working on? Was this it?
Yes. This is something that they had discussed prior to the draft. And then, you know, obviously they had targeted Tet. And when that didn't when Tech went to Carolina and they took Booker, you know, and they didn't take another receiver in the draft, and they went back to work looking to add to their weaponry, give Dak another weapon. And, you know, he talked about wanting to make the offense Dak friendly, and they needed to have a viable opposite weapon next to CeeDee Lamb, because it's been CeeDee Lamb and a bunch of maybes for the last couple of years. Ever since they let Amari Cooper walk, you know, they really haven't had a viable second number two receiver.
So, listen, he couldn't be more talented, this kid, obviously, Clarence. You know, you've seen him play just like I have. I'm sure you've heard what's coming out of Pittsburgh just like I have as well. There's a reason why somebody this talented in his last year of his contract was flipped out of town by the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are trying to at least roll out some sort of highly skilled weaponry red carpet for Aaron Rodgers as he's going through whatever he needs to go through to say yes to them. There's a reason why George Pickens was available for what Dallas gave up for him. Is there any concern in Dallas about that at all?
I mean, you have to come in with your eyes wide open. There's no question about that. Everybody knows his history. I mean, it's very public. Everybody knows Pittsburgh. You know, Mike Tomlin has done a good job managing personalities. And then when he lets you go, you know, there are real problems. You can look at all the guys that have left and how they've acted out and done things. But understand this. This is a Cowboy team that invested in Dak Prescott. This is not a team that's trying to rebuild. They're trying to win now. You're paying Dak Prescott $60 million. You're paying CeeDee Lamb, you know, $32 million. You need to try to win now. They're getting ready to give Micah Parsons the richest contract in sport, richest non-quarterback contract, excuse me. When you're putting that kind of money invested in these teams, in these players, it's about winning now, you know, and it's not about – you know, they've got a history of shopping at the bargain basement of free agents and really not spending money on outside free agents. But it's time for them to take a chance. I talked earlier about them not going after Derrick Henry last year. You know, it's, you know, they do a good job in drafting, but they need to supplement what they do in the draft by bringing players, playmakers in other ways, via trade, via free agency. They have to try to win now. In an offseason, that's you got rid of Mike McCarthy, remember? You go 7-10, you get rid of Mike McCarthy. And listen, we love Brian Schottenheimer, but it's not a sexy hire. You know, what can you sell the fan base? Dak is back, but what can you sell the fan base? You have to sell hope to the fan base that you're trying to win. You know, it's, you got to do more than sell tours. You got to sell winning. You know, it's time to quit selling tours and sell winning out there. And it shows you that they're trying to win.
Clarence Hill in his fourth decade covering the Dallas Cowboys, now with all DLLS Cowboys right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned the draft and how the Cowboys attempted to get Tet McMillan, and that didn't work. So they're sitting here at 12 with every other wide receiver available to them. But instead they went for, and I know this is one way to pigeonhole a guy who is definitely worthy of the 12th overall pick in the draft, another Tyler for the offensive line. And so was there no Matt Golden love? Was there no other love for any of the wide receivers worthy of maybe being the 12th overall pick in the draft?
You know, let's give the Cowboys credit for they have a history of drafting well, okay? And they had love for those guys, but Booker was rated higher on their board. You look at where they picked and all the picks they made quality picks. Most people gave them high marks for the players they pick and the value they got. You know, you got Booker, you got Donovan Ezeraco, just Javon Rebel, who a lot of people thought was a first round talent coming off an ACL injury. You get him in the third round, I mean, or fourth round. You get him in the third round. You got Jadon Blue. You know, you look at those guys and where they were picked. And they got great value. And so they didn't force a receiver. They say one a receiver. Book was rated higher on their board than some of those other receivers like Matt Golden. I'm a Texas guy. I love Matt Golden. He runs a 4.29 or whatever else. But they also had this in their back pocket. I think they already knew that this was a possibility. So they didn't have to force a receiver when they were going to go and try to finish this trade or finish those talks up with George Pickens.
Yeah, there were some real value edge rushers in the second round.
Right.
You know, the Colts grabbed Tui Moloau from Ohio State. This kid Ezeraco is really, really good. And I can't wait to see what he does look like in this Cowboys defense. And I imagine for Cowboys fans who are also Longhorns fans, the pick of Blue was I'm sure, well-received. Certainly since we're wondering who's running the football with Rico Dowdle out the door right? And so is this kid going to have a real shot to be the main guy for the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I think he's more of a, you know, again, I'm a Texas guy as well. But you know, he's a speed back. He's a niche back. He's a guy that gives you the big play. Again, he's another 4-2 guy. You know, you look at him in Texas and all the big plays he had in Texas, he's going to fit. With, you know, they got Javonte Williams in free agency,
yes,
and Miles Sanders in free agency. And here's a guy that can catch the ball in the backfield, do things on third down, do some receiver out the slot, things like that, but give juice to the offense. He's not necessarily a guy that's going to be your lead back, but you pair him with someone else. You pair him with Javonte Williams and some of those other guys. And I still think they should go after a tryout to Nick Chubb, even though, you know, after not going to get Derrick Henry last year, I think they should try Nick Chubb. I don't think that's on their radar, but I would love to see a Nick Chubb and Jaylen Blue combination. But he's the combo back that you're going to use in concert with some other bigger guys. But yeah, Blue is going to bring a big play to the offense for sure. I think he's like Tony Pollard. The Cowboys initially had Tony Pollard early before, you know, and he was a change of pace type guy, give you the big play out of the backfield, sort of things like that. That's what you're going to get from Jaylen Blue.
You take Nick Chubb, wouldn't you take Nick Chubb, TJ?
Absolutely.
I mean,
especially
like
the year further recovered from his devastating knee injury. What's up, Clarence? How you doing?
Try it. Just try it. Why not?
You know, Clarence, I'm very happy about this trade, you know, but of course you have the naysayers online who want to make fun that we did nothing the previous offseason. Now we make a big move, and now it's like, oh, well, he's a malcontent. He's this, that, and the third. What would you say to those people?
You can't have a room full of choir boys, okay? You know, this is the NFL. It's a violent game. I remember Mike Irvin walking to the locker room, and we know Mike Irvin's history with those championship Cowboys. Said, it's too many nice guys, and we need some edgy players, okay?
Some dogs.
And you got, you know, great character guys and Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb as a guy, but you need somebody with some dog in you, too. You need some players that got that dog in them. And you know, obviously, you got to be able to control him. He has to learn to control his emotion. Immaturity has been more of his issue. He's not a bad guy off the field. You know, you don't have to worry about him getting in trouble with the law and things like that. He just gets emotional on the field, but you need somebody with that dog in him to really help put you over the top. And this is, again, we're talking about a big-time playmaker. If he didn't have those immaturity issues, he would have won in the first round coming out of Georgia. You look at his career at Georgia, he was definitely one of the top receivers in that draft, one of the top receivers in college football. Look what he's done at Pittsburgh with some bums at quarterback. Look at the production he's had at Pittsburgh with some outright bums at quarterback. And with all due respect, but you know, he hasn't had a top quarterback. Going back to Georgia, he hasn't had a top quarterback. Dak Prescott's been the best quarterback he's ever played for. Mm-hmm. He's excited to play with Dak Prescott. One thing of note, he's in the last year of his contract. He's not forcing the Cowboys. He wanted an extension to Pittsburgh, but he's not forcing the Cowboys or even looking to get an extension. He wants to prove that he's a big-time playmaker so he can get paid in the offseason. So you have that carrot, that motivating carrot of a contract and life-changing money out there for him. So that should help him be better in Dallas emotionally and off the field than maybe he was in Pittsburgh. Obviously, being around Dak and some of those other guys that they have, but that carrot of the contract is what they're also betting on.
Well, I mean, two things. First, Clarence, not to tell you, you know, what to say or how to say it, but you can't call somebody a bum not once but twice and then say with all due respect.
Yes, I know. You know, I got that from Keyshawn Johnson.
You gotta lead with the all due respect.
I know.
Call somebody a bum
Johnson.
Twice. You called them bums twice. You went with one hand and you went with the other hand.
Blame Keyshawn. I got that from Keyshawn because, you know, you're a Jets guy, right?
Yeah, Clarence.
Yeah, blame Richard Keyshawn. He said, man, I played with some bums. He said, I'm not Bugs Bunny. I can't throw it and catch it, too. That's a Keyshawn line.
Okay.
When he came to Dallas. And so I got that from Keyshawn.
I thought it was a Giselle line.
Keyshawn line.
Giselle got it from Keyshawn.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Without the all due respect either. So I guess I should give you at least that you did say with all due respect, although belatedly. But the second thing is, of course they're not. They can't pay, I guess. They shouldn't be paying George Pickens, Clarence, when they have a line full of people that they still need to pay in their own spot that they continuously pay too late to save them any sort of money to pay somebody like George Pickens, which leads.
You sound like Jerry. Is that Jerry?
No,
Jerry,
I'm just saying.
Is Jerry taking over your body?
No, but it does dovetail, though, into the I need to see things from people before I pay them. You know, George Pickens just got there, so he can't say, here's a bag, Jerry, fill it up. I just got here. Unless that's part of the reason why the Steelers would send him out. This is just my I guess, long-winded way of getting around to, when are they paying Micah Parsons? When are they going to actually pay this guy?
Yeah, they got to call his agent first. They haven't talked to him. Jerry doesn't know his agent's name. He doesn't know David Mulligetta's agent, one of the best agents in football.
Right.
And keep in mind, Mulligetta is also George Pickens' agent. Right. So I think he knows his agent now, but they haven't really moved the needle on that. One thing to note, Rich, they may or may not pay him, but the carrot for Pickens is, I can get paid somewhere else in free agency. And the carrot for the Cowboys is, if he has a big year and gets paid somewhere else, he could get they could return a third round comp pick back. So they basically swapped the third round pick and could get a third round pick back for Pickens if he blows up and does a great job and signs big money elsewhere. So yeah, most likely they got other guys that need to pay, like Tyler Smith and certainly De'Ron Bland and Micah Parsons and all the other stuff. But remember, the Bengals just paid two receivers.
I understand that, Clarence, but I'm just saying, when you've got your own guys who have balled out to say, I want to stay here in Dallas, I have shown you what needs to be shown to have the privilege of having the star on the side of the helmet and play in the Jones Mahal. You can't just pay somebody who just got there. You've got to pay the other guys first. And that's why we had DeMarcus Ware on a couple years ago talking about how Jerry cut his agent out of the process when he was trying to sign him, and he knew it was serious when he busted out the votive candles in his office. He goes, when Jerry calls you in his office and busts out the votive candles and lights the votive candles, you know, like, he means business and he wants to sign you without you talking to your agent. So I don't know if he's busting out the votive candles with Micah Parsons. Or, Clarence, let me ask you this. Is there any credence to the fact that they think he podcasts too much? I mean, Tank Lawrence made explicit reference to that in clapping back at Micah Parsons when he went to Seattle earlier in the spring. Is there any smoke to this potential fire?
Not from Jerry Jones. And I broke the story earlier. Jerry Jones already has a handshake deal with Micah Parsons for the richest contract in richest non-quarterback contract in NFL history. They've already got a handshake deal. They haven't got the deal done because Jerry and Steven have yet to include the agent, and Micah is not signing a deal without his agent signing off on it.
Yeah, right.
But Jerry's already committed. You know, he said, we've had a meeting on the minds on everything in regard to contract, money, guarantee, bonus, everything. So there's no hesitancy with Jerry Jones that he's going to say the right thing because it hasn't done it. I need to see more. But he already has verbally committed a handshake deal with Micah Parsons on the richest non-quarterback contract. So that podcast talk is more of a media thing. It may be a player thing. All it's right. Not a Jerry thing per se. You know, he's going to say, well, I want to see more leadership. If I pay him that kind of money, he has to be a leader. This is what's also true. I'd rather have 11 Micah Parsons, 11 all-pro players. And I think Jerry would rather have 11 all-pro players to do a podcast. Micah Parsons is the only player on defense in the front seven that's a Pro Bowl player. You want to know why you can't get over the hump? You don't have enough talent up front. They can't stop throwing. They need more difference-making players, and Jerry is not using that podcast to not pay Micah Parsons.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, handshake or not, but one way for somebody to go basically like that instead of continuing to shake hands is if, let's just say, T.J. Watt signs first. You know what I mean? Like, so what's the wait? Why, if there's a handshake,
they have not talked to the agent.
Learn the agent's name, get his number, and close it. Like, what are we waiting for?
I have no idea, but they got a deal in place theoretically with Jerry and Micah. They just got to include the agent, and I think it's going to happen. They want to get it done. Both sides want to get it done, but they're hard headed. Hey, you know what? One agent that they didn't cut out the process, Dak Prescott's agent.
You know, they have Tom Francis' number.
Cut out the process.
Yeah, they got Todd's number. You know,
yes, most definitely.
And they got the number they wanted from Jerry, you know, which nobody's come close to touching, right? Like, nobody's. We've gotten halfway, you know, in the 50s to 60. But nobody's hitting 58, 59. I don't think Brock Purdy's going to do that. I don't know when Jaden Daniels hits, but there's going to be other quarterbacks before him. Stroud, I don't know. I don't know who's going to hit 60. Jerry might have set that standard, and nobody's coming close to it. Clarence, You know,
hey, kudos to Todd France, because he set this up with the first contract when he put the no tag clause in it. They set the when the first contract, it was a 4-year deal. It wasn't a long deal. When he initially got 40 and, he, you know, he made as much as Josh Allen and more than Patrick Mahomes, his first contract. But they set the table for the second contract with the no tag. And, you know, if the Cowboys didn't re-sign him, somebody was going to pay Dak. It was going to be Pittsburgh. Look at all the teams that needed quarterbacks. You know, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, this offseason when he would have been a free agent, he was going to get that money somewhere. And Jerry Jones, we've been on that quarterback abyss. You remember between Troy Aikman and Tony Romo. You know, Jerry was not going to go on that quarterback abyss again. He's not trying to rebuild. He's not trying to go 1-15 and take for Arch and do all this other stuff because he wants to keep that stadium full. And they've been very competitive. When Dak has been healthy, they've been competing for playoffs. They just need more players around them.
All right, Clarence.
Getting Arch might not be that bad of a thing, though.
No, hey, no. Quit with the Arch stuff, man. Not, he's not coming out yet. But I'm. Hey, listen, for Cowboys fans, for you, TJ, I'm glad you know Pickens is a splash. There's a sign of proof of life. You know that there is still some splash in that front office, and certainly in that town where you know I think people are still. You know, pissed, whatever, about Luka being sent out. You know, at least you're going to keep Micah and see what's going on, Clarence. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. And all DLLS.com and chill, right? I know it's C Hill, but it's Chill NFL at Chill NFL.
On IG is Chill NFL, and on Twitter or X is Clarence Hill Jr. all together. Follow me.
Holler at him at some point. Thanks again, Clarence. Really appreciate the time. That's Clarence Hill right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so that's the update from Dallas. Nice addition, George Pickens. Obviously, we will see what happens. 1 week from today, we will have the schedule. We'll find out who Dallas's first game is against. Because the schedule gets released next Wednesday. That'll be a double dip day for me. Doing this show here on the Roku channel and then the NFL Network schedule release program. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Annie's first oil change wasn't as hard as she thought because she went to AutoZone, where a friendly AutoZoner helped her find the right oil and save on an oil filter. He explained the job and showed her free how-tos on AutoZone.com. When she was done, AutoZone recycled her old oil for free. No hassles, just help. Everything you need, nothing you don't.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
The general manager of the Tennessee Titans, the man who chose Cam Ward first overall, Mike Borgonzi, is joining us on the program. Now, last year, after the Chicago Bears drafted Caleb Williams first overall, it was a no-brainer, right?
Correct? No-brainer.
Yeah. And so when a quarterback's taken first overall and there are some people with half a brain for sure who are saying is this a no-brainer? You're kind of wondering if there's any there on this front. And that's what Cam Ward's got to deal with, is obviously lots of expectations. But I've never seen a first overall drafted quarterback get zero buzz or run about him, quite like Cam Ward. And that actually happened right off the bat again. We had him on as soon as he was drafted. Yep. And I was told that night ESPN did not have the interview with him because they, I guess they were in Mad Mel mode right there. And
the trade broke. And so
the trade broke for us, too. But yeah. We still spoke about Cam Ward for a couple minutes and then tossed to the interview.
Yeah. Mel was kind of going nuts. And then obviously the trade broke. So they were all in on the Travis Hunter Shador of it all.
Right. Yeah. And we were, too, at some point. I'm not denigrating. Yeah.
No, that's just what happened.
At any rate, long story short, is after Caleb Williams got drafted, this is what Matt Eberflus, head coach at the time, had to say about whether this was a week one starter or not.
Has he been told that he's the starter going to training camp? Do you have to have that conversation?
No conversation. He's the starter.
I mean, that was it. And
that was pretty smart.
We were saying that at the time, yeah. Even in retrospect. A totally different answer from Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
We'll have plenty of opportunities. How those reps get shaken out will sort of be determined by how they perform when given opportunities. That part of it's been thought out. We have a plan in place. And what that looks like is going to ultimately be sort of up to them, you know, and how their performance goes when there's time to perform. So feel good about the process and the plan in place. And there's going to be plenty of reps for those guys to compete and get better and improve and be ready to play in September. So, you know, starting off early on here is you know, baby steps to some degree.
Those guys, which guys are you referring to?
All the quarterbacks. Yeah, they're all going to have opportunities to compete. And again, there's, you know, there's three quarterback jobs on most teams, sometimes four, and we're going to let them compete for all those.
Cam Ward, Will Levis, Brandon Allen, Tim Boyle. So do we say that the first overall pick is number one? That's for sure. There's no competition there. And I understand the difference between Chicago and Tennessee is Tyson Bagent wasn't a threat. Will Levis started games last year. But is it really going to be a situation where Will Levis can compete with Cam Ward or... Because that door does appear to have been left open slightly ajar when this...
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand. Through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.